Our first reading this morning is from Genesis chapter 17, from the beginning of the chapter. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and will make you exceedingly numerous." Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you." God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall give rise to nations. Kings of people shall come from her." And then our second reading is from Mark chapter 8, and beginning at verse 31. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father." Thanks be to God for his word.
We join in prayer. May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Here we are in Lent, when we who would follow Jesus come up against the most difficult of all the things that Christianity has to teach, which is that the Christian faith is not for everyone. I know that's difficult, and I know that it goes entirely against our natural way of thinking, and I guess we would all think it good if more people came to church. And probably quite a few of us can remember the times when churches generally were much more full than they seem to be these days. The times when this was a recognisably Christian country. The times when the BBC unashamedly promoted Christianity. Well, it still does, to an extent that is considered unhealthy by some, as we now live in a multi-faith world. And you can see why lots of people don't bother with the church anymore. Newspapers this week decried the Church of England for its latest gaffe. It had gone round telling employers that they ought to make sure they are paying the living wage, and then it was discovered that the church itself isn't paying all its employees the living wage. Not all the embarrassed apologies in the world are going to be able to undo that particular damage, at least not for a while. Once again, the church is seen as being hypocritical. Still, wouldn't it be good if more folk came to church? Wouldn't the world be better if Christianity was the only religion? But none of this is true of the faith of Lent. Christianity isn't for everyone. Oh, it's for anyone, though the way some churches carry on, you wouldn't always think it. But it is not for everyone. And if we think it is for everyone, well, we should probably heed Jesus' words to Peter that we heard in our reading just a few moments ago. Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. That's the link with the Abraham story, see, at this crucial point that we heard about in our reading, well into the full story of Abraham, when Abraham once again comes to hear God's promise, in which God reminds him that he intends to make him exceedingly numerous, the father of nations. And Abraham at the time is 99. Now you may well feel like snorting with Abraham in derision. Fat chance. Not then, all those centuries ago, nor in any of the years since, has it been at all likely that a 99-year-old would be able to start a family. I mean, imagine the furore. And I know it is more common to concentrate on Sarah at this point, and Sarah then was 90 years of age, and I guess that even in our age of designer babies and fertility treatment and all the rest, any woman pregnant at 90 would come in for some stick, right? Anyway, forget Sarah for this morning and think about Abraham, 99 years old, and God promises to make Abraham the father of many nations. And it says in one of those verses, not the ones that we heard from, Abraham fell on his face and laughed. Well, you would, wouldn't you? Ridiculous. You're having a laugh, as they say. Well, here is the connection. Abraham snorted with derision at the promise of God, and Peter snorted with derision when Jesus told him that the Son of Man must undergo many things and be killed. And the connection extends to us. If we think that Christianity is for everyone, if we dream of the days when the churches were full, and if we wish that Christianity could be top dog again, if we carry on as if all that's needed is one more push, more churches, better publicity, smarter websites, and so on, sorry, did I not say? Such things are of tremendous value for making sure that people understand that Christianity is for anyone. That is what our lovely standing posters are all about. That is what our website is aimed at. That is what Tyndale has at the heart of its vision. Open to God, open to all, to anyone. Rich or poor, gay or straight, male or female. No division, no barriers. Pray for the publicity team meeting tomorrow night. Anyone may come. Anyone is invited to find here the first flutterings of the embrace of God's love. Anyone. But not perhaps everyone. Abraham laughed because he couldn't believe that God was going to fulfill his promise to make him the father of faith. And Peter rebuked Jesus. Well, for here is the heart of our faith. The world that had begun to sit up and take notice of Jesus, that was going after him, that was hailing him the new John the Baptist, the new Elijah, the world that was falling over itself to put Jesus on a pedestal, the world that Peter tried to outdo by declaring that Jesus wasn't just John the Baptist or Elijah, but was the Messiah, that world was not Jesus's world at all. He was not interested in it then, and we are not to be interested in it now. In self-aggrandizement, in honor, in all the trappings of success. Ours is the faith of Jesus, who sternly ordered his disciples not to tell anyone about him. What's that about? The faith of Jesus who set his face toward Jerusalem to die, to suffer at the hands of the scribes and the priests and the Romans. What's that about? The faith of Jesus who called his followers to deny themselves, to take up their cross, lose life itself. What's that about? It is not about religious success. It is not about denominational loyalty. It is not about tut-tutting at behavior in a naughty world. It is not about God on your side religion. It is about service and sacrifice and going the extra mile. It is about expecting to be marginalized and ignored and maybe even persecuted. It is about broken bread in a broken world. It is about poured out wine in a suffering world. It is about a cross. And yes, it is about an unbending hope in the face of all the evidence, in a kingdom that is not made of human things, but divine things. But now, and all through Lent, and before ever we dare speak of such hope, and maybe there is something in Jesus telling his disciples to keep quiet. Maybe that means today not saying anything about God at all. How about that? Just loving and serving in a world that overflows with people who are claiming to speak for God. And some of them are in Syria. Now, mostly, it is about a hard road, the road not taken by many, and it is about a cross. And it is for anyone, anyone at all. But it is not, perhaps, for everyone.